Hi everyone. This weekend we are starting a series exploring the different contexts in which we live out the reality of being followers, disciples of Jesus. What does that mean? If we say that we are somebody who has committed our lives to Jesus, if we are following Jesus, if we want to make a difference for him, what does that mean in the reality of Monday morning, Thursday afternoon, Friday evening, in our workplace, with neighbours, with friends, at school, when we're on top of the world, when we're struggling with everything that's going on around us? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And this is something that we believe is really important for us all to engage with, to reflect on, to pray into as we seek to really develop a discipleship culture in our church that impacts and affects all that we are and everything we do, and allows the light of Jesus to shine through us to those we spend time with. Over the next few weeks, we'll be exploring five different contexts for discipleship, five different areas of our lives in which this can be worked out. The divine context, where we each individually spend time with God. The transparent context, a place where we can share deeply with close friends. The personal context, small groups where we encourage each other to grow as disciples of Jesus and to make disciples. The social context, a larger group of people where others can be included and introduced to Jesus. The public context, where we gather together as a whole church family for worship, for growth, for encouragement. If you remember, these are the contexts that Heather and I were talking about in a video for a family, for a focus day earlier this year. And we're just starting this series of unpacking them and seeing what they look like. Because each one is vitally important. Each one provides different opportunities to grow as a follower of Jesus and to introduce others to him. We're not going to cover them in the order that I just went through them, but we will be exploring each one. And particularly, we'll be focusing on how Jesus engaged in these different contexts. We'll look at his example. What does that tell us? Please pray that God will speak powerfully into our lives, that his Spirit will fill us again and encourage us to draw closer to Jesus, to become more like him. This weekend, we're thinking about the public context, which I've heard described recently as somewhere where we gather around something to share in it together. This something we gather around might be an event or an experience. In sport, it could be a football match, or it could be a shared idea. We gather to be inspired, to be refreshed, to be refueled. In a church context, we often think of a Sunday gathering, where we come together to worship, to share, to engage with God's word, to experience what it means to be family together. In this video, I'll be sharing some thoughts about one of the first public contexts where we see Jesus, and also one of the last. At the end, I'll ask a few questions for further reflection, and there'll be an opportunity to discuss these in groups during our family service on Sunday. On Sunday, there will also be an option to listen to me reflecting on some other public context events in the life of Jesus. Both of the events we'll be thinking about in this video were very public, but also very personal. Jesus was the central character in both, and something very special was happening between him and his Father. But they also had an impact on those around them. And that's something so important to remember, that even when we're meeting in large groups, such as a Sunday morning worship service, there is something significant taking place between each of us and God. And we need to keep that in mind as we come together. We need to be preparing ourselves to meet with God, to receive from him, to hear his voice speaking to us, to receive his Spirit once again in our lives. That we leave those places different to how we arrived, because we have met with God. The first event we're going to look at is at the start of the public ministry of Jesus, where he went to the River Jordan and joined the groups of people who were being baptized by John. Matthew tells the story like this, and we find this in chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Imagine the scene. A crowd of people waiting to be baptized by John as a sign they were turning away from their sins. John was baptizing people to demonstrate repentance and turning back to God. So there's this crowd of people waiting to be baptized, and Jesus comes and stands with them. They wouldn't have known who he was. He hadn't started his ministry at that point. When it gets to his turn, John, recognizing in some way the special nature of the person in front of him, tries to reverse roles and get Jesus to baptize him. But Jesus insists that John does this for him. He had no sins to repent of, but he was associating himself with the rest of the people, recognizing the reality of their situation, demonstrating that he had come to be part of their lives in a significant way. Up to this point, quite a personal moment, as Jesus, like so many before him, was baptized by John. Yes, people could see it, people could witness it, but Jesus would have appeared just like so many others. But then, as Jesus came out of the water, everything changed as God spoke directly from heaven and affirmed that Jesus was his Son, the one he loved deeply, the one who pleased him above all others. And along with the voice of God, the Spirit of God comes down looking like a dove and rests on Jesus. Now it's very much a public thing, with the heavens open, with God's voice being heard, with evidence of God's presence. There was something special about this Jesus, about this person, and how wonderful that he was associating himself with them. He was standing on the bank of the Jordan. He was going into the river. He was saying, "I am one with this people." For the people surrounding him on that occasion, they were there to be baptized by John. They were looking forward to that moment. They were seeing it as a way of signalling they were living for God. They were expecting life to be different as a result of what they were doing that day. And when we gather together, it is great to have those sorts of expectations as well. But on that particular day, their expectations were greatly exceeded as God spoke audibly from heaven, as the Spirit descended, as they recognised even in a small way that God's Son was amongst them. They would have been shocked, surprised, excited. When we meet together, are we hoping and praying that God will come amongst us in a deeper, in a more powerful way, that he will surprise us by what he does amongst us? How can we seek for more of that? The second event we're going to look at is right at the end of the public ministry of Jesus, where he is crucified. Each of the gospel writers spend time speaking about this eternally significant event. They hold back from describing all of the physical reality of what was taking place, just describing it very simply. But they focus mainly on what was happening with Jesus as the central figure, what he was saying, what he was achieving. Mark introduces the story like this, and you can read this in chapter 15 of Mark's Gospel, verses 22 to 24. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. This is a very public event. Crucifixion was designed to be seen by everyone, to deter others from causing trouble and ending up in the same situation. But again, it was a very personal thing, as Jesus hung on a cross on his own. Most of his friends having left him, there were some women who'd supported him during his ministry, watching from a distance. And as Paul reflects later when writing to the church at Colossae, it didn't seem as though this was the way it should have ended. This was not what people would have expected. How could this be how God's plan was supposed to work out? And many of the passing crowds clearly thought the same thing as they went by, as they mocked him, as they shouted insults at him. But just as at his baptism, Jesus was associating himself with those around him, with all of humanity, with everyone who has ever lived or will live, with you and with me. At his baptism, Jesus was effectively saying that he supported the people's desire to turn from their sin and to return to God. On the cross, Jesus was offering himself as a sacrifice for the sins of those people, to make it possible for them to fully and completely return to God. God was pleased with his son at his baptism. He was pleased with him as he suffered on the cross, as he demonstrated the depths of love that God had, that he had for the whole world. And this reminds me so powerfully that at the centre of our public gatherings, the public context where we learn discipleship needs to be Jesus. The one who left heaven to become one of us. The one who was prepared to suffer and to die so that we could be restored into God's family, that we could become part of God's kingdom. When we gather together in that public context, we are often looking for so many things. And most of those things are good and valuable. But it is so vitally important that at the centre of it all, the focus of our attention, the reason for our being there, is Jesus. The one who has given everything for us, and the one who still desires the very best for us. And it is so important that as we meet, we have a desire to be changed, to become more like Jesus, the one who made possible all the things we receive from God, all the blessings we have been invited into. Here are some questions to think about, and maybe to discuss on Sunday, or with your families or your friends. How do you think witnessing the baptism of Jesus would have changed you? How would you explain what was happening on the cross to someone who knew nothing about Jesus? How can best ensure our public gatherings are focused on Jesus and help us to follow him better?